1 Samuel chapter 9, 15. Are we humble people? Are we prideful? Do we walk in faith or fear? Are we ready to rumble or do we tremble? And you're going to see that there's a scripture that deals with this later on. New man or old man. Look, when we accept Yeshua as our Savior, we are a new creation in Him. All of those old things, all of our relying on ourselves is supposed to have passed away. But a lot of times what we do is we know we're a new creation, but a lot of times we pull up what was in our old hard drive, you know, instead of letting that old, really trusting Him, and the Father says we're going to trust Him. So here we go. Verse 15. Now the day before Saul came, Yahweh had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel." And he's got a job. And his job is, he shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, or the Philistines. And he says this, "For I have seen my people, and because their cry has come to me." And Yahweh said, "I have seen it, and I have heard." So he saw and he heard the cry of the people. This is like what you said, BJ. When you put that down, he heard your cry. And the thing is when you lay something, if you have a petition, lay that down before the Father. And you say, you know what? Cry over it. He will hear, he will see and hear. See and hear. And this is what the people were doing. They had judges back at the time. We talked about how all of this came. Samuel, if you remember last week, Samuel was a man of Yahweh. His sons were not. They took bribes. They perverted justice. And this is why the people were crying out for a king. And Yahweh relented and said, okay, we'll give him one. Verse 17, when Samuel saw Saul, Yahweh told him, "Here's the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain or rule my people." Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, where is the house of the seer?" Samuel answered Saul, he said, "I'm the seer." And then he said this, he said, "Go up before me to the high place." And when he goes up to the high place, this is a place of worship. "For today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is on your mind." Now, Saul doesn't understand. Saul is on a journey. Saul's looking for donkeys. There's some donkeys that are lost. And his father sent him to find these donkeys. Saul has looked and looked and looked. He can't find his donkeys. And so now he's going to go evidently and he's going to ask Samuel, "Do you know where my donkeys are?" Because he's going to a seer. He's going to the prophet for a reason. And then all of a sudden Samuel's telling him something. But he says this to Saul in verse 20. "As for your donkeys," now he hasn't even said anything yet. Saul just said, "I'm looking for the seer." And then Samuel just starts spilling all of this out. "You're going to eat with me. We're going to go here. You're going to go there. And I'm going to tell you what's on your mind." You know, and probably if most of us, if the prophet would have said, "I'm going to tell you what's on your mind," you're going to say, "Oh, Lord, please block out all of these things." You know what I mean? But he said, "I'm going to tell you what's on your mind." And he says, "And as for the donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. For whom it is all of the desirable in Israel, is it not for you and for all your father's house?" And so I wrote down here, said, our journeys may start out looking for donkeys, but be open because the Father may have something better for us than the donkeys. Then it says this, in verse 21. Because see, when I read that, and all of a sudden I'm reading Saul's answer, Samuel told him something that was a lot deeper in there that Saul grabbed onto, because he said this, "Am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribes of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" In other words, he's saying, "No way. I don't have what it takes to do or be what you're asking me to be." He's saying, "I come here for donkeys, and you're telling me that there's going to be something greater for me in my life." You've heard this all the time. He doesn't call the equipped. He does what? He equips the call. And that's what's key here. Right off the bat, when we're in this story, we have to understand, guys, it ain't about us anyway. I don't care how good we may think we are or how equipped we may think we are. You will never be equipped enough on your own to carry this message to the nations. It just ain't going to happen because you will mess it up. It takes total surrender and trust, because he will ask us to do, he will ask things hard of us. Like in BJ's case, whenever, I'm going to just use y'all's testimony since you had it like you had it. There has to be a husband and a wife. You have to be in agreement. You know, and then all of a sudden, I could understand BJ's point right off the bat. Hey, Yahweh, you got this. If you sell it, boom, 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 it's all yours. I don't have to do anything. But I will promise you, just like he says, but when things start happening, then you start getting nervous. You start getting nervous because now all of a sudden you're like, maybe this is the Father's plan. Maybe this is, you know. And now you start, then you get involved a little bit. So you're going to start seeing Saul, he's getting involved. Wait a minute. I'm not equipped for this task. I'm not the man, is really what he's saying. I'm not the man here. I'm not your guy, is really what he's saying here. Let's go to chapter 10, verse 1, because I'm going to skip through. We got a lot of them to go through. We definitely won't get through all of this today. But we're still setting the stage of how all of this happens. All right, 1 Samuel 10, 1. Then it says this. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and he kissed him and said, has not Yahweh anointed you prince over his people Israel? You shall reign over the people of Yahweh, and you shall save them, like verse 9:16 said, chapter 9:16 said, from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be a sign to you that Yahweh has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. Now there were some things, and I'm probably going to have Tammy read this in just a moment. But I put this map up here. Let me see if I can... You're going to start seeing, let me see if I can do a red dot. Okay, this is Gibeth, and there's Bethel, and there's Gilgal. We're going to eventually get to a place right here, and that's Yabesh Gilead. All right, down here, and you'll see this is where the Ammonites are. Now, the Philistines, they're over in Gaza. So I just put this map up here to give you a little reference to when you start hearing these names. Bezek, which is up there, B-E-Z-E-K, if you can see it, Z-E-K, you can get some reference to what's happening and where these people are. Tam, if you would, read verse 2 through 5 for me.
When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelza, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the Oak of Tabor, and there three men going up to Elohim at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of Elohim, where the Philistine garrison is. And it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying.
Verse 6. When this happened, he said, this is going to happen. And then when you get to this place and all of this comes to pass, then the Spirit of Yahweh will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and do what? Be changed or turned into what? Another man. Guys, we have to realize that with Yeshua in our life and following his commandments, we are turned into another man. We are turned into that one new man. Now, you got to understand this too. The one new man that he's talking about in Scripture is the very body of Messiah as a whole. All of us fit together is the one new man. And Yeshua is our head. Okay, we're not the head, he's the head. And we're his body. That functions as the one new man. But we have to know and understand that we have to do our part. Everything that in life, and the reason why we're bringing it up in the Father, because he first started with this, what are we dedicated to? If you're dedicated to him, and if you're dedicated to doing things his way, things will work out. But they have to work out on his timetable. He's teaching us and grooming us and growing us to be able to fight in battle when the battle comes. You practice. When we play football, we practice way more than we play the game. You play the game once a week, but you practice almost every day. There is a practicing that happens. There's getting in shape. There's all of these things that happens in our life to prepare us for the actual day of battle or whatever's going to happen in our life. And everything that happens in our life from the first time when we first get saved, life is good. When you first get saved, the Father gives you one of these. And you just suck on that dude, on that pacifier, and he takes care of everything. And then all of a sudden, one day, he says, it's time to wean from that. You're going to have to quit trusting in your binky, and you're going to have to trust in me. And so, and you know what? Life is good until things get hard. And what do we search for? Our binky. Yeah, we search for our binky because we want that. Because why? Because you find comfort in something. What is your binky? You need to get rid of it. Whatever our spiritual binky is, we need to get rid of it and trust on him and make sure that our comfort, because that's what the training is all about. And we go from everything from, you can take a baby from just like this little one up here. Totally. Violet is totally, totally dependent on her mom, her grandmother, somebody to take care of her. Put her there. She can cry. That's the only thing she can do is cry and do all the other things. But she cannot. The Father knows that when we first accept him as Savior. He knows how we are. But sooner or later, we start growing up. And when you get to be 59 years old spiritually, you ought to be able to be running. You need to be rumbling and not trembling. You need to be running with the angels and not be fearful of what the fear of man and what's going on. Everything in life, and this is why I picked this story, because we can see where there was triumphs and we can see where there's failures. We can see where life is good and we can see where people get impatient. Because impatience is one of the hardest things I know for me is when something needs to happen, I want it to happen yesterday. I want to have it, things signed, and it done. You know, and I can bring something up to Tammy. You know what the first thing Tammy's going to ask me? Have you prayed? You know, have you prayed? You know, and then have I prayed or have... I ought to learn by now, don't even come to her until I pray. Because I know she's going to ask that question. Sometimes things hit us, we get excited, and we think that this is good because of whatever happens, but we do need to pray about these things. We need to pray about really everything that we do. Because I can pray, I can tell you this, because if you don't, and things don't go good, you're going to go in your drawer to find your spiritual binky. And you're going to whine about it because it ain't going to go good. But you see here to where it says, when all of this happens, it says, the Spirit of Yahweh will rush upon you. Guys, the Spirit of Yahweh should be rushing upon us. And the thing about it is we will prophesy and we will be turned into a new man. And it says, now these signs, verse 7, these signs will meet you. And then he says this, do what your hand finds to do. In other words, don't doubt, go and do what I tell you to do, for Elohim is with you. So he's telling him, Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to be another man. You're going to be a new man. These signs are going to happen when they meet you. And then whenever it comes, don't doubt. Go and do what you have to do. Then he said this, then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. I always want us to know and pick up on these things here. Before anything usually happens, there's always worship involved. There's always a sacrifice. There's an altar built. There's always burnt offerings and peace offerings. It ought to tell us that even here, He's saying, before things happen, we're going to worship, we're going to inquire the Father to see what does he say about these things. And he said this, 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. So here, I just want to put this in our minds. Here, Samuel is telling Saul, I have your marching orders in my pocket. You wait 7 days. When I come, we're going to offer before him, and then I'm going to give you your marching orders. Okay? That's important. But before we get to this great event that this happens, there are some things that happens between there. Now let's go to chapter 11, verse 1. Then Nahash in Hebrew, I believe, means what? Serpent? Nahash means serpent, the Ammonite. So that ought to sort of tell you what's happening here. The serpent, the Ammonite. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And I showed you up here where it says Jabesh Gilead. You want to look back at the map. It's up in here. This is where he came from. See, the Ammonites lived down here. They went up here and they besieged this area right here. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a treaty with us and we will serve you. Now, think about this before you read any scripture. Nahash from Ammon, he goes up to Jabesh Gilead. Now, they're Israel up there. Ammonites are not Israel. They go up there and they besiege the area. Jabesh, there's no praying and there's not anything that's going on here. And he makes this statement. Come, let us make a treaty together. Let us be together and we will serve you. Okay? I think he spoke before he got the terms of the condition. Because look at the terms. He says, this verse 2, but Nahash, the Ammonite, said to them, on this condition, I will make a treaty with you, that I gouge out all your right eyes. What kind of deal is that? I'm going to gouge out all your men, all your right eyes, we're going to gouge them out, and thus bring disgrace on all of Israel. That is in the ancient Near East, that's what they would do, because gouging out the right eyes was a symbol of an everlasting defeat, and it was a sign of shame and an insult to people. So Jabesh sort of spoke before he saw the conditions. But then, at least he did go back and say this. Then the elders of Jabesh said to them, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers throughout all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we will give ourselves up to you. Now, what an option is that? So you're seeing the people and the elders that live in this community. Now, this is Israel as a whole. And you can see they're under the judges. Saul's been anointed king, but he's not operating as king yet. He's been anointed king, but they hadn't all put their I wills behind it. They hadn't done their little vote and motions and second motions and all that yet. But the Father does something. He did it with David. Whenever Saul messed up, what about David when he became king? They didn't everybody run and put their name behind David either. It took a moment or two. But David did a lot of things in his life to win the hearts of the people way before Yahweh chose him as king, so people can trust what Yahweh's doing. So you see here, let's go to verse 5. Now behold, Saul was coming from the field behind the oxen, and Saul said, what is wrong with this people? Why are they weeping? Well, they don't want to lose their right eye. You know what I mean? Use it while you got it. You might as well cry. What's wrong with these people? Why are they weeping? So they told him the news of the men at Jabesh. And it said, and the spirit of Elohim rushed upon Saul. Guys, we need to be ready at any moment, because when it's time, the spirit of Elohim will rush upon us to do what we need to do in any given situation. I know that we went through most of us went through a charismatic type movement to where we just lived in the clouds. You know what I mean? And if we didn't live in the clouds, the devil was after us. There's times in our life, more than others, when we need an answer, when we're at a place to where we need. He had 7 days. 7 days. Because after 7 days, if we don't have salvation in 7 days, we're going to all lose our right eye. And I don't know about you, but that's sort of a bad deal to make. I don't, nobody messing with my eyes. Give me a pair of glasses or whatever, but don't gouge them out. I mean, this was the alternative. I'm just trying to paint a picture of this is real life people, real life situations. Now, let me just say this here. This is a binky moment, okay? A binky moment. There's a lot of times in our life when we think we're going through hard times. Guys, that was a hard time. They had 7 days, guys. 7 days. If salvation didn't come, all the men lost their right eye. But a lot of times we complain about way less than that. So I'm glad you got this. So this just works into it. If we have a binky moment, go to the Father. He takes care of the binky moments too. Let's do put things in perspective and realize, I can tell you this, that treasure chest that's full of orphans, they got issues. They don't have somebody that loves them all the time like the children in here. Not only do the parents in here love their children, we love their children as much as the parents do. Amen. Amen. We love the children as much as the parents do. There's a lot of these people, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, where they may be or where they may not be. You've got families in this box that are brothers and sisters. How many of them will be separated from their brother and sister, and this one goes to this home or this one goes to this place? And now there's turmoil. So what I'm saying is let's sort of keep things in perspective in our life. Because I can promise you this, if we can't handle things when life is good, you won't handle things when you're orphaned. You will fall to pieces. The Father is trying to get us to a place to whenever Saul heard, let me just read it. Verse 6, it said, and the spirit of Elohim rushed upon Saul, and when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. This is just like Yeshua when he turned over the money tables. And I wrote down here, we need to be led by His Spirit, not ours. That's why we need to pray for the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit to be operational in our life, because sometimes we're going to hear about situations that's going to make you mad, that's going to make you angry in a righteous way, but you have to know before you act that you're acting by the Holy Spirit and not your own spirit. So I want to put that in there too. Because if you rumble too soon, you can end up in a big mess. So this is what happened. It says, then he mustered them at Bezek. I guess that's how you say that. B-E-Z-E-K. So Saul is right here at this moment. Now these guys are here across the Jordan. So he musters these people of Israel. And there was how many? 300,000. And the men of Judah were 30,000. So he had 330,000 men he mustered together. Now next week when we get to that other story, you're going to see that there's only 600. It's like, what happened to this picture? But then they said to the messenger who had come, he says, thus say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have salvation. When the messengers came and told the men of Jabesh, they were glad. And guys, I can promise you, they were very glad. And it says this, therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will give ourselves up to you, and you may do to us whatever seems good to you. And I'm going to just stop there because of time. But here's what's happening in this scenario I want us to know. We need to be men that are humble and not prideful. We need to be men and women of faith and not fear. When this happens, when the Spirit of Yahweh comes upon you, you'll be ready to rumble and you won't be trembling. But if you're full of pride and if fear operates in your life, when trouble comes, you will tremble. And you will be fearful and afraid, and you won't be able to do what you need to do. You will need your binky. He's created us to be a new man. Let's don't revert back to the old man. That's what we don't want to do. Life is good. My life, I'm just going to say for me, my life is good. Doug and Tara's life now is good. Their house is built. Amen. But he'll tell you now, y'all's house is not built, but life is good. Amen. But the thing is I do appreciate, because I don't care what you're going through life. Stress, guys, is stress. Is it not? And do you know, I can tell people up here, I can say, don't worry about it. What good does that do? There has to be a transformation. Sometimes, to get stress off of you, the Spirit of Yahweh has to come upon you. And guys, that takes prayer. That takes doing that, laying that down. Whatever you have in your life, if you need a job, if you need a new job, or if you need a piece of property, or whatever you need healing, whatever you need to do. I've always asked this question, or I've made this point. Are we praying about it more than we're talking about it? If we're talking about our problem more than we're praying about our problem, then guess what? We just got a lot of talk. But if we can lay that thing down and pray and seek Him on every issue, every one of us in here has got issues that we need the Father to give us an answer on. Some people need a vehicle. They just need a vehicle. I don't understand why a truck's $80,000. That's more than houses. Well, not some houses, but you see what I remember the day when you... Now, you got to realize this was... I mean, I ain't all the way back in the Walton's time, okay? But I remember the day that if you went and you bought a vehicle brand new, you got a 24-month note. Guys, 24 months is 2 years. All right, then we come to a place to where it was a 5-year note. We went from 2 to 60 months. Some of them went to 36, 40. You know what I mean? But the price went up. They went up. They give you another year to pay for it. Now they got 10-year notes. Now before you take on a 10-year note vehicle-wise, talk to Dennis. Dennis will have a ring of these. He'll have these around his neck. And he will say, let me put this in. Let me talk to you. Do not buy a vehicle on a 10-year note. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Because I can promise you, we all ought to know, if a vehicle lasts 10 years, it's a miracle, okay? Because most of us, time we get to that 10-year, I've laid hands on mine. We're laying hands on vehicles, praying over them. Amen? Get me home. Don't leave me on the side of the road in New Orleans at 2 o'clock in the morning. Please, God, get me home. Yahweh Elohim, get me home. Amen? Burp, burp, burp. Oh, have you ever noticed that? I used to drive back and forth offshore, and I would go, look, guys, I've done a lot of praying from 1:30 in the morning till 5 when I got there. It is a bad feeling when you're going through New Orleans at about 2 in the morning, and you feel that in your vehicle. That's a bad feeling. You talk about praying Spirit English. You're praying until you get through that situation, till you get to a lighted area. You know, I'm telling you. But I would tell you this. I had one flat tire in 26 years. And I ran over a bungee cord. I didn't know I ran over, but I run over, and the little S hook went in there. But when the little S hook of the bungee cord went in there, I heard something. Pop, 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 pop. I said, what in any world? But it was on I-10. It happened. Exit right there. Everything was right there. I was able to fix it right there. And that was, if it had to happen, I was glad it happened right there. Tiffany knows Cameron Clough exit, you know, all over there. If you've ever been out there where they live, a lot of times there's bayous that run on both sides of the road. And there is road, and there is 6 inches of dirt, and there is water. So if something ever happens there, you're just going to have to hop along till you get somewhere. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is I'm very, very, in my life, I'm very, very thankful that when things did go wrong, they went wrong in my carport, or they went wrong wherever I could fix something at that moment. I know Steve had a testimony a while back about his universal or whatever that thing was in there. Steve, what was that you had, universal joint that you were sitting there and the man spotted it? Two bolts was holding? Transmission, yeah. The whole transmission about to fall out. Two bolts holding it in. Somebody spotted it. You know, these things I am thankful for, that the Father, even though things happen, think about how many times it could have been way worse. Guys, we need to be thankful. And you know what? When you operate like this, things are going to happen in your life. Battles are going to come our way. But when battles come our way, when we're like this, if you can be faithful, if this can happen, you'll be ready to rumble when it's time to do it. You will charge to the battle. You will be able to go through it. You'll meet it, and you'll meet it with confidence, and you'll defeat that enemy in your life. Amen. We don't need to allow pride and fear to rule us. We have to be, and you know what? Pray. Let the Holy Spirit, I promise you, the Spirit of Yahweh will rush on you when it's time for that to happen. That's right. That's right. During that time, he said, we need a first responder spirit. We do. So I'm going to close with that now, and then we'll pick back up in this journey. I wanted you to know something just real quick, because next week, this is going to change. Right now, Israel saw mustered 330,000 to go into battle. I just want you to know that as we're closing, because that's sort of going to change next week a little bit. And you're going to see the odds are going to change. If you got this, it doesn't matter what that number is. That's what this message is about. If we're dedicated to Him, this number should never matter to us, whether we have more or whether we have less. And that's what the thing about Hanukkah was, that came from this very story here that the writer of Hanukkah, Maccabees, was writing to Jonathan. Whether there's many or whether there's few, what difference does it make? If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Amen, and that's what it's about.